Give the Lord some praise again. And it's worthy to be praised. God bless you. God bless you. You may be seated. Learning to celebrate your critics. Genesis 50, 16 through 20. Celebrate your critics. One of the things that intrigued me is that quite often when we go to ceremonies, awards, graduation, things of that nature, it kind of gets me how people will always celebrate those that have supported them along the way. I think that's a cool thing. It's cool when someone recognizes you and your accomplishment, that you celebrate your supporters, your friends, your family, your coworkers, or the team of people that you think really help you to get that award. But the truth of the matter is, true celebration needs to be given to our critics as much as those that have supported us. By critics, I mean those people that were against you along the way. Because if it had not been for your critics, you would not have been as strong as you are today. If it had not been for your critics, you would not have spent as much time praying unto God. If it had not been for those that lied on you, talked about you, called you everything but a child of God, then the muscle of faith would not have been exercised in you. So while we celebrate, we need to celebrate our critics, because in part they made us who we are today. Amen. See, but they were your critics, or they are your critics, because they looked at you and they thought they knew everything about you, but they forgot about the God that you serve. Because if they only would have looked at you and saw that the God that you serve is a God that never fails, therefore you would never fail, they would have left you alone long time ago. If it wasn't for your critics, you would not have been pressing in and praying. But it is the critic, those people that taught you how to pray at 2 o'clock in the morning. If it had not been for my critics, I would not be in a position where I have to totally trust, lean, and depend on God. So I have to learn how to thank God for my critics. The critics are the ones that say that when they walk out of your life, it'll fail. The critics are the ones that say, you know, that would never ever happen in your life. The critics are the ones that don't know your story. They look at you and they have conversation about you as though your life really doesn't matter. Have you ever had someone to talk about you when you were going through something? And the way that they treated you, the conversation was so casual, as though you were just a second thought with no feelings whatsoever. And there you are going through something, and they sit around in a 15-minute coffee break and they talk about your life, discuss your life as though everything is fine. Have you ever had someone to talk about you, to judge you, to criticize you, only to have half of the story? Because if they only knew the rest of the story, then you wouldn't see my weakness. You'll understand that I'm still standing, and it's by the grace of God that I haven't shot you by now. We have to learn to celebrate our critics. When we can't celebrate our critics, it's as if God can't take us through something. When we understand that people that come against us, they're really not coming against you. They're coming against the God in you. Because the truth of the matter, all of us are the same. The thing that makes us different is that God gives us different anointing, different gifts, different talents, different skills. But I don't have to be jealous of yours because I have my own. See, sometimes people spend so much time trying to stop you that they can't start their own show. Sometimes people are so busy trying to make sure they sideline your anointing that they never do anything with theirs. So they judge you, but at least you got started. They're doing nothing in comfort land, but they have an opinion about you. You have to learn that when people begin to pass opinions on you or they have this judgment about you, what they say really doesn't matter. See, because what you say is out there, what I allow to come in, then it matters. Then it becomes my problem. So it's okay if you think that about me. Because when the mortgage rolls around, it doesn't matter. You're not going to pay it. So it doesn't matter what you think. If my child gets in trouble and you have an opinion of me, you're not going to help me. You're going to go call somebody, talk on the phone, and you want to tell something that you don't know. So what you think of me, I can care you know what about. You have to be careful in church because, you know, you church folks can get real holy. And then you church folks can say, oh, that's arrogance. No, that's not arrogance. That's me knowing about my daddy. That's me knowing that God is a deliverer. That's me knowing that God is a savior. That's me knowing that God will bring me out of something. That's me knowing that God will supply all of my needs. So I don't have time to worry about what you think. I need to be about my father's business. This morning, the story about Joseph. Joseph was a young man, and his father, he loved Joseph. He made Joseph this coat of many colors, and Joseph had a dream, and Joseph had a bright future. Now, I used to look at this story of Joseph, and I thought the story of Joseph really was about Joseph and the way that his brothers treated him, only to discover that's not what the story is really about to me. To me, the story is about having a dream and watching somebody try to dim your dream. Have you ever had a dream and told your dream to somebody and you were surprised, you were amazed at their reaction? Because if anybody should have stepped up, supported your dream, it seems like they should have, because they were your bosom buddy, they were your dog, you were down like four flat tires, and then you told them your dream, and then they began to criticize your dream. Start anything in here this morning, but I gotta say this, because when you have a dream, oftentimes when you have a dream, your worst critics is in the crib with you. Joseph told his dreams, and those that lived in the crib with him, his brothers, sold him into slavery. Can you imagine that? Your brother, your sister selling you into slavery, not because you've done something, but just because you have a dream. I want to talk to the dreamers this morning. I want to talk to those that see your tomorrow better than your yesterday. I want to talk to those that believe that you're going somewhere in life and understand, yes, I made some mistakes in the past, but I got to pass by my mistakes. I want to talk to the dreamers. Those that believe God is going to do something in your life, I want to talk to the dreamers. Those that see a brighter day ahead. The dreamers. And so the brothers sold him into slavery. Now, they sold him into slavery. They sold him out but they couldn't stop him.
That's right.
And that's why people are lying on you, because they can't stop you. Watch this. Now, I'm going to spell this correctly, Chastity. I'm going to spell it stop. S-T-O-P. Do you hear me? The S is for strength.
Okay.
Your critics will always see your strength. So Joseph says, fear not. I know what you did to me, but I'm not going to do that to you. He says, you thought evil against me.
Yeah.
Understand this. Your anointing will always attract your adversary. See, people see your strength. And because they see your strength, they're trying to shut you down. Because if they don't stop you now, they can never touch you. Whenever somebody come against you, you need to begin to praise God, because somebody peeked into your future and somebody saw where God was taking you, and you need to begin to praise God that somebody see your strength and not your weakness. You see, people begin to deal with you when they see your strength. Folk begin to fight you as though you are the finished product. This is what I mean by this. You ever been in a battle with someone and it really wasn't that serious, but they were fighting you as though it was a life or death situation? And you saying, Jeff, calm down, it's really not that serious. But he was fighting and fighting and fighting, and you couldn't figure out why is he putting that much energy into it. See, because when people look at you, they don't necessarily see you. They see the finished product. They see what God is going to do. They see what God is taking you. They see the greatness in you. It's not you that they're fighting. It's where God is taking you, and they have to stop you then, because they see the strength that is inside of you. The T is for, it's your timing. Not only do they see the strength in you, but they see how you're putting that thing together. You don't have much, but you learn how to work what you got. And it's your timing, how you put this together, and this flows with this. And it's only a little bit, but when I put it together and it flows with something else, then you understand that my timing is now. There's nothing worse than to miss the timing of God. There's nothing worse than to be out in the street when God needs you to be in ministry. There's nothing worse to be in the club when God is trying to get you in the church. Don't ever miss your timing. Joseph says to him, all that you did, he says, it was to bring to pass. In other words, I'm still standing in spite of what you tried to do to me, because it's my time.
Right.
When it's your time, you don't have to worry about what you don't have. Because the Bible says your gift will make room for you. Which means that you don't have to be qualified. God says, I'll come by and I'll favor you. And I'll kick open the door. And I'll make an opportunity. And I'll make a way. And I'll make this happen. I'll make your enemies your footstool. I'll turn it around in your life. When God favors you, you have to be careful when God favors you, because when God favors you, you begin to do supernatural things that you don't even understand. How in the world can that check pay all of this? Stop counting. Just God favors me. The person that I applied for the position with, all of them are college grads. But somehow I got the job with my drop down to high school stuff. But God favors me. All those that went to college and got the beautiful, beautiful degrees on the wall, but now they're too cute to take this job, but you took it and it led to a promotion somewhere else, because God favors you. When God favors you, his favor is never fair, but it's always in his timing. It's always in his timing. Watch this. When God have need for you, even your haters can't hold you. See, people will come against you. critics, haters, they'll come against you, but they can't hold you back. Joseph had a whole army of brothers to come against him. But when God says, I favor you and it's your time, I don't care about any of that stuff, he'll jump right over it. Have you ever applied for something and know your credit was jacked up before you applied for it? You just did it just to be doing something, but somehow it was approved anyway. Favor of God, where God says that car got your name on it, that house got your name on it. I don't care about no credit, I don't care about no pay stuff. I favor you, but you're my child, and I will do a good work in you. He favors you. They understand your strength, they understand timing, they understand also that you're an overcomer. See, you think folk don't watch you, but the truth of the matter, they've been watching you for a long time. And your crazy self thought they did not like you, but they were admiring you. Because if it was them going through that thing, they would have dropped that long time ago. And so you just lost your mom, but you still in the game. You just lost your dad, but you still there. You just got laid off from over here, but you still smiling. Everybody walked out of your life, but you still praising God. The doctor said he got to remove one of your breasts from cancer, but you still giving God the praise. See, they admire you because you still standing. They know about you. That you're an overcomer.
Yes.
The question is, do you know that you're an overcomer?
Amen.
It doesn't matter if they know it. Do you know it? Watch this. When people reject you, when there's rejection, it's always because God is giving you redirection. If that person mattered, God would allow that person to bless you. But because God allowed that person to reject you so he can give you a different direction, and God turned your direction, now you mad with Pookie and Ray Ray because they didn't give you $5. But Pookie and Ray Ray really didn't matter. God redirect my path. God do a new work in me. God turn my life around. God order my step. God lead me. God lead me. Joseph says to his brothers, he says, listen, I know what you did, but he says, look now, I'm in the place that God wanted me to be in all along. See, sometimes we can look at people selling us out, rejecting us, criticizing us, and we think that's the end. Baby, that's just the beginning of your life. One thing I've learned in 44 years about God is that God quite often removes folk out of your life before he bless you. He wants to be perfectly clear because God is a jealous God. He wants you to be perfectly clear when you come through that thing, when you get what you've been praying for. Ain't nobody do it but God. So give him the praise. You don't understand me. See, if you would have been in my life and you would have did it, then I have to praise you. If you would have did it and you would have loaned me the money, then I owe you something. I don't owe you nothing but love, baby. Strength, timing, overcomer, and then purpose. He was going through something, but there was a purpose in his life. Listen to this and be careful with it. Your purpose must be greater than your pain. If your purpose is not greater than your pain, you'll get stuck in hard times. You ever met someone and 20 years later they're still talking about the pain from 20 years ago? Man, we can all let that go. Talking to somebody and you just have a general conversation and you told them it was cloudy, looked like it was gonna rain, they said, pain, pain, I've been through pain. That's all they want to talk about is what happened in their life 20 years ago. When are you gonna get over that? Joseph says the purpose. He says, I understand what you did, but check this out. He says, God did it so that I can save much people alive. Watch this. Never allow your anger to destroy your alignment. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Sometimes we can be so angry with a person that we seek a revenge and not the kingdom of God. He says, if you seek the kingdom of God, he says, all these other things should be added unto thee, which include revenge, which include payback, which include his grace, which include his mercy. So we have to seek after God and not anger. Joseph could have been mad with his brothers. The brothers could have came to them. He could have cut their head off, killed them all. But he says, you meant it for evil.
Amen.
But God meant it for good.
Amen.
See, in other words, he says that you sold me out. And when you sold me out, you have to understand that Satan sent you, but God shielded me. You ever been in a situation where Satan came against you and he came and God allowed him to take your job, but God still shielded your finances? Have you ever been driving down the road, the car flipped over, but God still sealed you? Have you ever been going through something and Satan attacked you? He sent demonic enemies against you, and when they came against you, in spite of where you was, God still sealed you. Have you ever woke up one morning and felt like dying, but God sealed you? Have your child ever been going through something and you thought that was the end, but God sealed you? I thank God that he put a shield all around him. If God has sealed you, come on and give him some praise. If he shield you, give him some praise. Now watch this. Sometimes when you begin to go through something, it seems like Satan is going to win. But you got to remember, God says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. It looks like he's winning. But God says, I got a shield.
Hallelujah.
He has a shield all around
you.
And when God placed that shield all around you, understand that nobody can hurt you. Nobody. Sit down. Nobody can hurt you. Watch this now. So people come against you. Your critics come against you because what your critics has is an opinion about you. Someone took the time to sit down. Let me show you why you celebrate. Someone took the time to sit down to think about you and to write your bio and to know everything that you did. They sit down and they analyze your life and they think that much of you, you ought to give them some praise. Didn't that God say, I make your enemies your footstool? Didn't that God say, I take the foolish things of the world? So he takes this foolishness. Somebody sitting down thinking about you, sitting in a group and saying, you know this and you know that. Everybody got an opinion about you, and you still walking in love. You still walking in grace. Your car still getting paid. Your mortgage still getting paid. Your children still are safe. We still got help. Who cares what your critics think? Come on and celebrate God this morning. Pay your critics. The truth of that is, maybe that's what Marvin Sapp meant when he said, and I never would have made it. Maybe that's what he meant. If you hadn't talked about me, I would never have the energy to go. If you hadn't lied on me, I never would have fixed that. I thank God for my credits. Every time you talk, God took me higher and higher and higher. Keep on talking, keep on talking. Never would have made it without. See, because every time they talked about me, I went into my secret closet and I prayed out to God. Every time you lied on me, I turned it over to God because I know God will work it out. Because God is a loving God. He'll work it out. He'll fight for his children. He says, this battle is not yours. It's the Lord. See, when your critics come against you and you try to put out the fire, don't worry about it. Begin to celebrate for them. I mean, they're thinking about you. At least I'm alive. At least I'm doing something that draws your attention. Now, who's crazy? The person for talking about me or me for responding to that foolishness? You got to know who you are in Christ. When you know who you are in Christ, what they say doesn't matter. And you know what I've learned in life? The ones that talk the loudest is generally the ones who've done the less in your life. You think that about me. Now you think I'm going to go and I'm going to get into an argument with you?
Yeah.
Why? Who are you? Okay. Really? Who are you?
Right.
You know how you silence your critics? You sit silent.
That's right. Yep. Yep.
It's hard for a fool to argue about himself. It's a challenge. And if that's what they say, okay. That's all right if that's what you think. But I know. I know the God that lives in me. I know that He's my Redeemer. I know that He is my grace. I know that He is my Deliverer. So what critics say really shouldn't matter. Because reflect back in your life. The number of times that God has delivered you from something. Delivered you through something. The number of people that has come against you. And at the end you were standing and they were somewhere destroyed. God will fight your battles. Have you ever been in a situation and you've been tied up in something? You remember that one time you went and you bought something you knew you couldn't afford it, but you signed for it anyway, and you struggled for 36, 48, 60 months to get out of it? You remember that?
Yeah, recently.
Have you ever been tied up in something and you needed God to loose you?
Yes.
And then one day God came and God loosed you from that thing. See, loose don't mean a lot unless you've been tied up. Have you ever been tied up in a relationship? Wanted to get out, couldn't get out, but God loosed you. Have you ever been tied up in a contract with somebody? Wanted to get out, couldn't get out, and then one day God loosed you. When God loosed you, then you understand, baby, I'm free from that thing. I may do a lot of things, but I ain't getting back in the grappling again. Isn't it a wonderful thing when God frees you from stuff? When you don't need what you used to need. You don't even need who you used to need. You used to need a pill to calm your nerves, a cigarette to smoke before you can talk, a drink to sit down, and a drink even to talk to somebody. But when God removed that, I ain't never did that before. Then God removed all that, and now I'm free. Thank God I don't need what I used to need. Thank God I'm not who I used to be. Thank God I'm not there yet, but I'm still going. I'm going to walk this thing out every step on faith. We need to learn to celebrate our critics. When we learn to celebrate our critics, then God opens the door. Because then your focus is on Him. See, we spend so much time thinking about people and what they think. We don't even pray to God. We end up praying to them. Oh, please, I hope they don't do this. No, God, I know they won't do it. Oh, I hope this person doesn't walk out. No, God, if they walk out, somebody else will walk right in. Oh, God, I hope they don't find out. Let them find out that so I can use that, Lord, and I can be convicted and move forward. You got to get to a place where I'm not afraid of not one person. You know, your greatest fear every day needs to be to disobey God. If my greatest fear is to disobey God, that little junk that you bring in my way, it doesn't even matter. If I'm obedient to God, if I make the sacrifice of praise unto God, I know that God will lead me through this day. You got to trust God. You've got to trust God. Can you celebrate God right now for your critics? Can you really celebrate God? Listen, come on and stand with me this morning. As you celebrate God for your critics, all those that talked about you and you moved higher, all those that lied on you and you got delivered from them. Thank God. Thank God for your critics.